Athens equals democracy. Democracy equals naval power. Naval power equals empire. Each of these elements contributes to the other and reinforces the other. Athens equals democracy. Democracy equals naval might, and naval might equals empire. So as Athens became more democratic, it also became more imperial. A third institution that also plays into this development of Athens as both a democratic and an imperial power in the 5th century is that of the clerici. Clerics, or clerics as we usually call them, clerics are like colonists. They are Athenian citizens who are given land in other territory. But unlike most colonists who then lose the citizenship of their original state and become citizens of their new place, their colony, clerics instead remained Athenian citizens. So that the land of a particular territory handed over to the clerics was really land being taken from the allies and given to Athenians. A good example of this occurs in 446 BC, when on the island of Euboea, two states, Chalcis and Eretria, are in conflict. The Athenians step in, they settle the conflict and the revolt, and then they simply seize much of the land of Eretria and they hand it over to Athenian colonists. These Athenians don't become Eritreans, rather they remain Athenians, but owning this land. And in any disputes between, say, an Athenian cleric and a local, you can imagine where the dispute would be settled, in an Athenian court. So in these very direct ways, Athenian influence is reaching out from the territory of Attica and being felt all around the Aegean as its navy is supported by the allies, as Athenians are acquiring territory in allied states, and as Athenians every year are serving as the backbone for this democratic navy, which is asserting Athenian power all over the Aegean. Clearly, this was going to have an effect on the way the Athenians understood their own power and their position in the Greek world. And I think that it is around the late 460s that we see a major shift in affairs in Athens. By 460, 50 years had passed since the founding of the democracy. 20 years had passed since the Persian Wars. A new generation, in other words, a new generation of politicians has had time to emerge. And the politicians now of the 460s, these young men who are coming to the fore, are men who have grown up with the notion of the democracy, the navy, and the empire. These are the main elements that they see as important to Athenians. What did they brush up against? Well, quite simply, an older generation, a generation of men whose lives and whose thinking had been conditioned by not the democracy and the navy, but rather by the Persian Wars, the great enemy of Persia, who we Athenians had triumphantly defeated. Let me try to specify this even more closely by considering the careers of some of these major politicians. In the years after the Persian Wars, the leading politician in Athens was a man by the name of Cimon. He came from one of the great old aristocratic families of Athens, and he was devoted to the anti-Persian cause. To him, Persia was the enemy. Because for him, Persia was the enemy, then the Spartans were not. The Spartans, in a sense, were the other Greek force. Men who might be unlike the Athenians, but nevertheless were still Greeks and therefore basically allies. So, in 464 BC, when an earthquake in Sparta precipitated an uprising of the servile population there, a helot uprising, and these helots then withdrew to Mount Ithome, even though this had happened in Sparta, Cimon offered the assistance of the Athenians. Spartans were their allies. The offer of help from Cimon was accepted, and an Athenian army was dispatched to the territory of Sparta, to the Peloponnese, in order to help lay siege to the helots. It was believed that the Athenians were better at this particular style of warfare. However, and here's where I think events really mark a new turn. In 462, Cimon was expelled from Sparta, asked to leave. According to Thucydides, the reason was that the Spartans were afraid of the possibility of revolution.